The last week or so, I have been flipping through the channels with my remote, as we are prone to do, and I came across the Canadian channel, and behold, it was playing this old cartoon, this animation that I remembered watching as a child, and I became quite nostalgic. It was Mr. Magoo in the Christmas Carol. So as I look at you here tonight, how many of you have heard of Mr. Magoo? Oh, good, I'm not alone. Tristan, have you heard of Mr. Magoo? No, he has not. There is a generational point where things like Mr. Magoo simply get forgotten, and it's very, very sad. I began to watch this whole thing on Mr. Magoo as the Christmas Carol was unfolding from that animator's understanding of it in that day of the 1960s. And it really struck me as I was watching it. I started asking some stuff about the book because it, first of all, it's a book. So Charles Dickens wrote the book in the 1840s, and when he wrote the book, Christmas wasn't all that celebrated in England. In fact, Christmas was just not a thing at all. It was Queen Victoria who actually made Christmas into something. Dickens wrote the book in the middle of something we call the English Industrial Revolution. And what it meant is that the lower classes in England were being sent off to factories if they were children or adults. But he was most struck by the fact that children were being sent off to work in the factories to make money so that those who were wealthy became wealthier. He was really quite put off at the injustices that were happening in the Industrial Revolution. He at first was going to write a pamphlet on the ills of the Industrial Revolution. But instead, he wrote a book, and he called it A Christmas Carol. Within weeks, the first printing sold out. Do you know that A Christmas Carol has been in print since 1843? I think that's a pretty impressive run. This book had an extraordinary influence and power on people when they began to watch it. This is the power of story. You can do a lecture, but when you put a story to the lecture, it changes everything. We can lecture injustices, but there's another thing to telling people the story of the injustice and let people to walk through the experience. This is the power of a good novel or an outstanding movie. We can identify with Harry Potter. I assume you know who he is. Oh, good, somebody's with me yet. Or we could talk about an insignificant hobbit. All of them are dealing with themes of good versus evil, darkness versus light. Or we can talk, which this franchise is having some difficulty these days, becoming a Marvel superhero. And we could debate who we want to be as a superhero. For you who are older, there are a lot of Marvel superheroes. Our Luke reading is one of those stories. It's what Tristan read a minute ago. Our Luke reading has stood the test of time. Please do not underrate that. It has stood the test of time. The language that the author Luke uses captures us and speaks to us. The language that Tristan read a minute ago is read all over the world tonight. All over every place where Christianity is celebrated, this story is read. And the language of that gospel writer Luke, that inspired word that he writes, touches the heart of people everywhere. We have a young, innocent girl. She's simply living life, and an angel appears and says that she's going to have a child, and that child would be the Messiah. She accepts the promise that this angel gives her. Martin Luther said it this way. That's Martin Luther from the Reformation, not Martin Luther King. Martin Luther from the Reformation back in the 1500s said it this way. The greatest miracle was not that Mary conceived, but that she believed this little lady of maybe 15 years old. The story is filled with drama and affection. A pregnant young woman forced to go with her husband on a long 60-mile journey, get this, ladies, on a donkey. to a place she did not know and had never spent time, and she gives birth. It becomes a magical moment of God's handprint on this world. The story speaks into our own lives. Who of us has not celebrated the birth of a child? After all, you came from somewhere. And they celebrate the birth. Goodness, now in recent years, we have gender reveal parties, and then they shoot something pink and blue, and you got to guess, oh, boy or girl. When that happened to me, I got very confused. We celebrate life. This is what the story is about. The story that was read tonight is the celebration of life. Our Old Testament story that Jonathan read is about a king whose name was Ahaz, and Ahaz was living in extraordinary fear, a fear not so unfamiliar today. A war was happening. Russia was invading Ukraine. And in that day, there was an empire called Assyria that was invading into Judea, into Judah, where King Ahaz ruled. And he was desperate to save his country from destruction. And he does believe that all is lost. He believes it. The Assyrian army is so powerful and strong, he cannot imagine any way that his nation could survive. And you'll see in the reading, it said this, Isaiah comes to the king, and he says to the king, notice the language, he comes to the king and he says, King Ahaz, ask God for a sign. Ask God for a sign. And Ahaz says, no, I will not put God to the test. You go, well, wait a minute, Ahaz. You're not putting God to a test because God just said to you, ask for a sign. But his heart was hard. You know why? He lived in fear. And that fear was holding him back from engaging life. And maybe tonight, maybe some of you are so caught in the fear, you forgot how to live life. That somehow the fear has choked life out of you. That's what happened to Ahaz. And so then God speaks into Ahaz's life, and Isaiah says, you didn't ask for a sign, O foolish man, so I'll give you one. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. In 1863, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a very famous American poet. Many of us have read him in an English class. And even in that day, he was noted for his writing and his poetry. And he was seen as one of the perennial, the premier writers of the day. And in the midst of the Civil War, when his son secretly went off and enlisted against the father's wishes, and his wife, in the midst of the Civil War, died when her dress, remember the big fluffy dresses they wore? Caught on fire. And they couldn't put it out. And the woman he loved died. It was in that backdrop of a son going off to war and the loss of his wife that he writes a very famous poem that's been crafted into a Christmas song. I've asked Bob to sing it. And I'm going to ask you to watch the lyrics. Don't sing it with him. Let him sing it. But read the lyrics, and you're going to see the fear of the loss of life, and then maybe in the final stanza, the grabbing onto life. Robert.
I heard the bells on Christmas. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And I thought how as the day had come, belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
See, it is very easy to believe that darkness wins. It's so easy to believe that when the shadows come like thick, slurpy fog, and you wonder if the fog will ever lift, and we can hang on to the darkness as King Ahaz and even Longfellow, in the midst of his own grieving pain, wonders, can light prevail? And he writes that, yes, it will prevail. He does say, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. You see, sometimes we simply have to tell each other, God is in charge. God does prevail. Light does win. Darkness does not win. The light wins. In the midst of any storm, we can be assured that God will prevail. We can be assured that Emmanuel is there, that God is with us. God will enter our story, and God will live in our story. God will die in our story, and God will resurrect in our story. And then you know what he does? He brings us into his story. And his story is eternal. It's eternal. It goes on for all time. Our story is temporal. His story is eternal. A life that this little baby will grow up and will give us by his own death and his own resurrection extraordinary love. It says this in 1 John chapter 4. This is how God showed love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son a gift. He sent his Son a gift for us as a sacrifice for our sins. This is our story. It's a story of love that goes beyond any comprehension. Shepherds are the bottom of the social ladder in the first century. So when you read about shepherds, well, on the socioeconomic ladder, they were kind of at the bottom. Shepherds who were kept out in the fields, wandering with sheep. If you spend a lot of time with sheep, you begin to smell like sheep. And they weren't all that educated, and they weren't all that friendly, I guess. They were to stay in their place and simply do their sheep job. They had a job, do their job, it was sheep. Maybe some of you feel like that in your own employment. You feel like, just do your job. No one cares if you do your job, except you need a paycheck. And what happens to these shepherds in the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, there in the hillside outside of Bethlehem? Angels appear to them. They become part of the story. a story told for all time. They are always remembered. How many of you have a manger scene at your house? I would get a guess a whole bunch of us have manger scenes at our houses. It looks like your hands went up. And I'm going to guess you have Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And you probably have some wise men. How about some shepherds? There's a few nods. Some are not sure if they're shepherds, but you have a few nods. You see, these shepherds are remembered for all time. Every time you set up a manger set, you bump into those shepherds, and you hear the words of the angels speaking to the shepherds. And they sang this song in the heavens as they spoke to the shepherds, and they said, Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. Go and see the baby. And then the heavens erupted. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. One writer put it this way. What lasts is not the wrappings of mummies, that's life, but the one who was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Pyramids and colosseums, they crumble. Remember, there's no Egyptians from the ancient world left today, and there's no Romans left today who built the colosseums. What the shepherds saw in that manger, that abides. The shepherds knew a better way, the better shepherd's voice when they heard it, not just the angel's song, but in a baby's cry. A Christmas Carol is a great story. In fact, when the book was actually read and it went into mass production all over England and it sold out of an edition, then another edition was printed and so on and so on. In the 1840s into the 1850s, you know, this book had an extraordinary impact on England. It did. No one wants to be Scrooge. Just to tell you that, no one wants to be Scrooge. That Scrooge has become a statement of cheapness and stinginess, even today, right? Oh, you're such a Scrooge. England read that, and they were impacted by it. And it did begin to have a change. Among other things that happened in the Industrial Revolution, it began to have an impact on people, so they began to see life differently. It was a good book. A great book, even in the eyes of Mr. Magoo. Yet the story we have tonight, this one that you're here for, this story is eternal. That story transforms people. God redeems us through this baby. And we are rescued from sin. We are forgiven for our brokenness so that one day we can stand in the very presence of God. And that gift is given freely. It's given to you freely without any expectation. It's given to you. Receive that free gift. In Christ's name, amen.